Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for your word, a familiar word. But we pray that its familiarity will not keep us from hearing the truth that you have for us in it today. Bless our understanding and give us the will and the courage to follow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So once again, we're gathered together this weekend as a nation to remember the countless servicemen and servicewomen who have lost their lives in the pursuit of freedom for our nation, in the pursuit of peace for the world. Today we live in an age of volunteer armies and service in our country. But it wasn't that many years ago that many fought willingly for our country by their own decision. But there were many who did not fight willingly. They were drafted, conscripted into the service of the country. It was either fight or spend time in Leavenworth or someplace like that. Approximately 17,725 draftees were killed in the Vietnam War. Approximately 19,700 were killed in the Korean War. And approximately 175,000 in World War II. I can recall the angst of draft time during the Vietnam War, because my brother, who's 4 years older than I am, was of draft age at that time. Of course, the conscripted soldiers were sent into the army, where they fought the ground battles, while meant that those who joined of their own accord would often go into the Navy or the Air Force, figuring, I think, that they would be a little further away from the fighting than they being in the Army or the Marines. It's a difficult way to be persuaded to be a part of something. Do it, or you'll find yourself in prison. And I find that today to be in sharp contrast to the words expressed in Isaiah and Romans. Because you see, conscription is the antithesis of our understanding of God and the idea of the Trinity. And I want to reflect on that today. Now, the army, the services at that time, for many years, used forceful persuasion. As I said, do it or you go to prison. God uses what is essentially could be called adoptive persuasion. To help understand this, I want to share a story that I've shared with people in my church before. It's a true story. And some of you in the Myersville church will know this story as well. When I first came to this church, there was a woman in our church named Catherine Ingalls. In her early years, Catherine, by her own understanding and using this word, this understanding, was what you would call a child of the streets. She shared with me a number of times, as she may have shared with you all, some of you a number of times, how a young woman took her into her home to raise her. The young woman became ill and unable to take care of Catherine. And so the mother of the young woman, known as Grandma Bedford, took over the job of raising Catherine. And the two liked each other so much that Grandma Bedford decided to adopt Catherine. Now, it should be noted that Grandma Bedford, you could probably, the way that Catherine described her, you could probably wear that from that T-shirt you may have seen, "She Who Must Be Obeyed." Grandma Bedford was that kind of woman. You didn't mess around with her. And she wanted to adopt Catherine. Catherine loved the structure and the love that she had from Grandma Bedford. And she described to me a number of times at the court proceedings on the adoption. At one point, the judge called Catherine forward. A little girl comes forward, stands before the judge in his black robes, and says, "Catherine, do you want to be Mrs. Bedford's daughter?" And Catherine, and she did it every time, clasped her hands, "Oh, please. Oh, please." The love of Grandma Bedford persuaded Catherine that she wanted to be adopted by this wonderful woman. There was no forcefulness about it. The love of God persuades us that we want to be adopted by God, that we might be a part of God's family. Isaiah experienced the grace of God's forgiveness after he was sure that he was going to die because he had seen God. That was a belief early on in ancient Judaism, that if you saw God, you weren't going to live. Paul spoke of the Spirit that makes us God's children. And John talks of God's love for the world and the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. My people are probably getting tired of hearing this, but for a number of years I've spoken of the Trinity as God's love affair with God's people. The Trinity is our redemptive history, wrapped up in three or five words. As I shared with Cheyenne, Father, Mother, Son, Holy Spirit. Or as we could say, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Now the word Trinity is not in the Bible. You won't find it there. That didn't come until the 300s. But what this early medieval church term, Trinity, relays to us is that God does not give up on us. God created us all and declared it good. God created truth and beauty. But we've abused and misused what God created. So God sent the Son to show us the truth, to show us how to live, to be a model for us. But we didn't understand. We were frightened. So we killed the Son. But even then, God did not give up on us and sent the Holy Spirit, that we might continue to be led by God, by the truth, and led to the truth. Contrast that with a story you may remember that happened about 8 years ago. There was a mother in Tennessee. She had adopted a little Russian boy from Russia. And after a while, she put him on a plane and sent him back to Russia because she couldn't handle it. God does not give up on us. God is also not forceful. It's not, "You better believe in me or else." God has given us the free will that we might say, "Oh, please." when we consider being a part of God's family. And we ought to say, no thanks, and suffer the consequences, whatever those may be. But God never stops trying to reach out to us. If you ever want to read an interesting book about this, read C.S. Lewis's The Great Divorce. He talks about this. There is also the truth that, like many adopted children, humanity has issues with feeling alienated, feeling abandoned, even when they are surrounded by the love of their adopted family. I've known a number of people who are adopted that just can't have a real struggle getting over that idea that someone didn't want them in the beginning. And as God's children, we have to make that decision to be a part of God's family each and every day. We have to keep reinforcing it, saying, yes, I want to be a part of God's family, and making decisions that get us there. We cannot make the decision to be a part of God's family just once and say, okay, I'm done. Got that covered. We need to constantly be saying to God, like Isaiah, here I am. Use me. Love me. We need to keep opening up the relationship because it's so easy to forget. The world can be very persuasive and draw us away from God. So we have to keep saying, I want to be a part of God's family. I'll be honest, there are many today in the church and outside the church who use the force of a baseball bat to persuade people to see things their way. As I said, in the church as well, you believe what I believe or else. But God uses the beauty of creation around us. God uses words like, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. God uses sound and sight, wind and flames, passion and trust and love. And then ask, who will help me bring peace? Who will help me love my people? Who will let me love them? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish, but will have eternal life. Have you? Will you allow yourselves to be adopted? Amen.